Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Beautiful evening in Colorado. Hard to believe, I know, for February 15th. But we've had some pretty good weather. Lots of snow, a couple feet outside, 4 feet outside my window from the roof. But let's get into this. We're discussing a topic that most people don't know anything about. We've all been dumbed down. We've lost our rights because we either don't know what they are and or we don't defend them. And that is a critical thing because they'll just keep getting away with it. So the topic tonight is, do you need a license to travel on any of our 50 state highways as a personal, private individual traveling to the store, your friend's house, the local pub, whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. So let's address some of this stuff. We don't have a lot of time. Hopefully I'll get done before time runs out. But I'll give you a document source that you can look at this and begin to challenge this on your own. Let me put out right at the beginning that this is not saying that somebody should just be able to be given the keys to a vehicle and just do whatever they want without some training. I mean, we've all been through training. We did it in grade school. We did it in high school. We went through driver's ed. You know, that's a no-brainer. You know, you learn how to do what society wants you to do. But does that require a license that we have to renew every so often? And what does that have to do with public safety? And only, you know, what the state finances are and control of you and me. Okay? Well, I think the first thing we need to do is try to hit the basics of what do the courts say. Let's look at that first, and then I'll bring up two or three other little tangents that you can look at and bring up to the court when you're dealing with a driver's license, at least. And it could be brought up with traffic tickets and a host of other things. Let's look at the first case. It's Justice Tolman of the Supreme Court of the state of Washington, okay? And this is his rendering in a case called Robertson v. Department of Public Works. And you can look at that. But most of these, in fact, all of these will be in the document that you can look at and, you know, that you have in your hand. Okay, here's what he said. Complete freedom of the highways is so old and well-established a blessing that we have forgotten the days of the robber barons and toll roads. And yet, under an act like this, which is, you know, where we're getting into, arbitrarily administered, the highways may be completely monopolized, which they are today, you know, with by license, registration, cops everywhere, if, through lack of interest, the people submit, then they may look to see the most sacred of their liberties taken from them one by one by more or less rapid encroachment. Okay, well, what is that telling you? Let's look at another one. Personal liberty largely consists of the right of locomotion, to go where and when one pleases, only so far restrained as the right of others may make it necessary for the welfare of all other citizens. The right of the citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon by horse-drawn carriage, wagon, or automobile is not a mere privilege which may be permitted or prohibited at will, but the common right which he has under his right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Under this constitutional guarantee, one may, therefore, under normal conditions, travel at his inclination along the public highways or in public places, and while conducting himself in an orderly and decent manner, neither interfering with nor disturbing others' rights, he will be protected not only in his person but in his safe conduct. And that's two American jurisprudence, first constitutional law, and I'm not going to make a lot of these quotes because you can look them up. And here's another one. Personal liberty, which we allegedly have, correct, consists of the power of locomotion, of changing situations, of removing one's person to whatever place one's inclination may direct without imprisonment or restraint unless by due process of law. That's Bouvier's Law Dictionary. So let's keep looking here. I'm going to rattle through these as much as I can. Just bear with me because this is just a 5% of what this document contains. Okay. Based upon the fundamental ground that the sovereign state has the plenary control of the streets and highways in the exercise of its police power, may absolutely prohibit the use of the streets as a place for the prosecution of a private business for gain. They all recognize the fundamental distinction between the ordinary right of the citizen to use the streets in the usual way and the use of the streets as a place of business or a main instrumentality of business or private gain. The former is a right. You and me just traveling between point A and point B, minding our own business. The latter is an extraordinary use. As to the former, the legislative power is confined to regulation. As to the latter, the commercial side of it, it is plenary and extends even to absolute prohibition, since the use of the streets by a common carrier in the prosecution of its business as such is not a right but a mere license of privilege. So if you're following this, and I'll put this out there, that driving is a license, is a legal term. Driving is like you're driving a limo, you're driving a taxi, you're driving a, it doesn't matter what it is, a commercial truck, semi, whatever it is, for commercial purposes on public roads. That is what driving is, and we'll get into that a little bit more here. Let's look at another one. Now, this one is basically getting to the rights. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which abrogate them. And another one, the claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. How many times are people deprived of their right to drive, their license, whatever it is, and put under all these egregious, unconscionable acts? Let's look at another one. The use of the highways for the purpose of travel and transportation is not a mere privilege, but a common and fundamental right of which the public and the individual cannot be lawfully deprived. How often does that happen? Another one. The right of the citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon, either by horse-drawn carriage or by automobile, is not a mere privilege which a city can prohibit or permit at will, but a common right which he has under the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now understand, all these cases are involving original intent. We're going back to the 1800s, the early 1900s, when all this was absolutely, totally, completely known. And yet we've been roped into enslavement, basically. Here's another one. For while a citizen has the right to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon, that right does not extend to the use of the highways, either in whole or in part, as a place for private gain. For the latter purpose, no person has a vested right to use the highways of the state, but is a privilege or a license which the legislature may grant or withhold at its discretion. Again, we're looking at, is somebody making money using the highways, using our public roads? They should be controlled. It can be the money that is used for that licensing and whatever that they choose to do goes into taking care of our roads. All right, another one. Heretofore, the court has held, and we think correctly, that while a citizen has the right to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon, that right does not extend to the use of the highways either in whole or in part as a place of business for private gain. Another one. The right of the citizen to travel upon the highway and to transport his property thereon in the ordinary course of life and business differs radically and obviously from that of one who makes the highway his place of business for private gain in the running of a stagecoach or omnibus. And let's see, we get back to the Supreme Court of Washington again, Justice Tomlin. He says, the former, meaning just the right to just get in your vehicle and travel, is the usual and ordinary right of the citizen, a common right to all, while the latter is special, unusual, and extraordinary. In other words, you're making your business from using the public roads, which, again, that's a lawful constitutional right for the states to intercede in. I think I'll skip that one. I mean, there's so many in here. Another one, the right of the citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon in the course, in the ordinary course of life and business is a common right which he has under the right to enjoy life and liberty, to acquire and possess property, and to pursue happiness and safety. It includes the right, in so doing, to use the ordinary and usual conveyance of the day, and under the existing modes of travel, includes the right to drive a horse-drawn carriage or wagon thereon, and to operate an automobile thereon for the usual and ordinary purpose of life and business. Skip that one. Here's another one that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cases that are cited for this particular statement. First, it is well-established law that the highways of the state are public property. Oh, that means your property and my property. And their primary and preferred use is for private purposes, and that their use for purposes of gain is special and extraordinary, which, generally at least, the legislature may prohibit or condition as it sees fit. And notice it says generally at least. In other words, it's the courts are actually putting in some qualifiers stating, you know, generally. That's not saying in every detail in every way. So that leaves a whole new can of worms for these guys. Another one. We know of no inherent right in one to use the highways for commercial purposes. The highways are primarily for the use of the public and in the interest of the public. The state may prohibit or regulate the use of highways for gain. Okay? Beginning to come together. Let's see. We got, we're about halfway through this already. I don't know if I want to keep reading a lot of these. Let's see. Here's one. A motor vehicle or automobile for hire is a motor vehicle, other than an automobile stage, used for the transportation of persons for which remuneration is received. The word automobile, another site, connotates a pleasure vehicle designed for the transport of persons on highways. And it goes into it, it elaborates and gets breaks it down to where these guys love to get into wordsmithing that confuses everybody on it. And you think, well, motor vehicle, automobile, driver, blah, 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 blah. It's all meaning the same thing. Well, no, it's not. And then we get into such words like and this document, which is a very good and I think an attorney in Colorado put this together, gets into the definition of travel, driver, and here's one. This is Bouvier's Law Dictionary. Driver means one employed in conducting a coach, carriage, wagon, or other vehicle. Employed. Got that? Another one, traffic. That's another word that they define. License. Another one they define. Police power. Another one that they define. And let's see here. And this is a classic Supreme Court case. The right to travel is part of the liberty of which a citizen cannot be deprived without due process of law under the Fifth Amendment. This right was emerging as early as the Magna Carta. You know, before we had vehicles, motorized vehicles, but it doesn't change anything. They're trying to say that, well, it does change everything. Let's see. Let's skip that one. Another definition, regulation. And let's see here. States cannot diminish the rights of the people, which they certainly have with requiring a driver's license for everybody. And here's a good one. The courts are not bound by mere form, nor are they to be misled by mere pretense. They are at liberty. Indeed, they are under a solemn duty to look at the substance of things whenever they enter upon an inquiry whether the legislature has transcended the limits of its authority, which it certainly has. That's my put. If, therefore, a statute purported to have been enacted to protect, the public safety has no real or substantial relation to those objects or as a palpable envision of rights secured by the fundamental law, it is the duty of the courts to so adjudge and thereby give effect to the Constitution. Oh, wow, imagine that. And another one, it is the duty of the courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizens and against any stealthy encroachments thereon. Another United States Supreme Court case. Let's get down through here. Nope, we're going to skip that. And these, I want to read a few of these as quick as I can. We got about 13 minutes. Americans' freedom to travel throughout the United States has long been recognized as a basic right under the Constitution, according to multiple cases, including blah, blah, blah. And a case involving criminal prosecution, people prosecuting people for obstructing the right. Obstruction is a federal crime, by the way, which is what these guys are doing. If they're obstructing you from driving and requiring you to have a license. Pretty amazing stuff, right? Another one, U.S. Supreme Court. The right to travel is a part of the liberty of which the citizens cannot be deprived without due process of law under the Fifth Amendment. Another one, undoubtedly the right of locomotion, the right to remove from one place to another according to inclination, is an attribute of personal liberty, and the right ordinarily of free transit from or through the territory of any state is a right secured by the 14th Amendment and by other provisions of the Constitution. United States Supreme Court. Another one, the right of the citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon in the ordinary course of life and business is a common right, which he has under his right to enjoy life and liberty, to acquire and possess property, and to pursue happiness and safety. It includes the right in so doing to use the ordinary and usual conveyances of the day. And that's a Virginia court case. Another one, the right to make use of an automobile as a vehicle of travel along the highways of the state is no longer an open question. The owners thereof have the same rights in the roads and streets as the drivers of horses or those riding a bicycle or traveling by some other vehicle. Well, if you walk the streets, you ride a horse, you ride a bike, do you need a license? Do you need to get permission from the state? Nope, you don't. That's what the courts are saying, what they've always said. let's skip that. Now, let's get into some of the issues. If you have to go to court, what are the challenges that you need to do? I mean, obviously, that type of document, you want to walk into that court and you want to place it in evidence, even if you have to stand there and read every one of those cases into it, or make a copy of it and put it into the court record as you're standing there. And hopefully you've got, anytime you go to court, you want court watchers. You want someone there, at least one, preferably 5 or 10 or 15, because when they see that many people for one case, that makes them extremely nervous. Okay, here are some of the points that you need to challenge, and you can go back through this and you can write them down. The first one is, when you're usually in that court, you know, if somebody punches you, if somebody does damage, burns your house down, that means that you're an injured party. You have been damaged, okay? Well, in most of these cases for traffic violations or not having a driver's license, which I'm bringing to court here fairly soon in March 10th, my driver's license being expired. Oh, imagine that. And the things that I'm going to be challenging is this. First thing is injured party. And there are three requirements under Article 3. It has to be an injury in fact, which means an invasion of a legally protected interest, that's your right to travel, that is concrete, particularized, an actual or imminent, not conjectural or hypothetical. So there has to be an actual injured party that you face in court. Number two, a casual relationship between the injury and the challenged conduct, which means that the injury fairly can be traced to the challenged action of the defendant and has not resulted from the independent action of some third party, not before the court, which they try to present third parties. And I'll get into that pretty quick here. Number three, a likelihood that the injury by this by you against this supposed person will be redressed by a favorable decision, which means that the prospects of obtaining relief from the injury as a result of the favorable ruling is not too speculative. Okay? And there's more that goes into that whole thing having to do with the Wimberley test, and it's basically that same thing. So there has to be a complaining party, someone who has signed a complaint, somebody who has been injured, and who you can face on in that courtroom, put them on the stand, and depose them, and because you have the right to face your accuser under the Constitution, okay? Number two, the most of the summons and the tickets that you get, it says the people of the state of such and such, and I'll give the example of where I live, Colorado, the people of the state of Colorado, and it says here that, you know, I have committed the offense to the peace and dignity of the people of the state of Colorado. Oh, well, okay. Where is this complaining party? Who are they? We've done research with the Secretary of State, and you can do the same thing and find out who the people of the state of Utah, California, whatever state you live in, find out, are they an entity? And we've got two separate documents that show very clearly the Secretary of State says that they're a non-entity. They do not exist. So on that summons, there's a non-entity bringing charges against you, and besides the fact that you have a right to face these guys, this entity does not exist. Who are they? Who is the party that you are bringing that is bringing you before the court? You know, so and I was in court when I was pleading on this thing, and I didn't plead, but they always plead for you. I turned around and the courtroom was packed. And I just said, I said, Your Honor, the people of the state of Colorado, where are they? And I said, if you're trying to tell me that it's these people here, and I turned around and looked at them, And I said, and I just asked him right there, I said, has any one of you, it was your peace and dignity harmed by my having an expired driver's license? Not one hand went up. And I was bringing up a lot of other constitutional things, and the judge smugly said, okay, is there anybody in this courtroom who believes what this guy is saying and agrees with him? And all these hands went up because we had court watchers. And he goes, oh, well, that's good. And it shocked him. It totally blew him away. So that's a quickie on that. The third one is that in most cases, when you're in that courtroom, it's the officer that is prosecuting the case. He's on the other side. He's there. But that's an illegal violation of the separation of powers under the United States Constitution, and even like in Colorado, the state constitution under Colorado, under Article 3. The executive officer writing tickets, which is what he is, he's in the executive department, cannot all of a sudden take that hat off and stand in the courtroom as a judicial officer against you. That cannot be done. That's illegal. It's unconstitutional. But we haven't been challenging these things. So I want to give you a page that you can go to that has the entire document that I'll be using in March 10th, and we just need to be applying these things in our lives. We need to stand up against this slow encroachment against our rights. We've lost track of who we are, and that gets into some of the other discussions I've had on sovereignty and the fact that the people have actually received what the king used to have in England. That devolved to the people because we are the ones that created the federal government, state governments, local governments. We, the people. So you got to start thinking of yourself as a sovereign, as a king, as the ruler, and stand up against these guys because they're going to run roughshod over our rights. So you can go to a website that's called Liberty Zone, LibertyZone.org/update and a dash, not an underscore, but a dash, page.html. And if you go there, just scroll down, and you'll see a lot of interesting links, not only in there, but on the left, you can go to other web pages that'll give you a plethora. If you want to go to something that will probably blow your socks off, you can go to Foundation for Truth in Law, all spelled out, .org. Foundation for the F-O-R, Truth in Law, .org. And just look for the resource page, and you're going to find stuff on everything from banking to the IRS fraud to it'll empower you like you won't believe. So I'm not going to belabor this. Let's stop this thing here. But if you have questions, you can certainly email me at truth@libertyzone.org. And pass this on. That's all I can say is just pass this on. Knowledge is power. If you don't do anything about this stuff, it's not going to go away. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. So hopefully this has been of a little bit help, but that document will shock you as to what is available. And hopefully you guys will pass this on. That's all I can say. So good evening to all of you, and just keep fighting for the truth and your liberties, okay? Take care.